What's good, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
Man, you only did one up this week. What's up, everyone? You got Matt or Haz bringing it in here. We're doing a late night episode on our side of the recording side because we had to wait for the Sixers game to get over. And thank God they won in overtime. Otherwise, I don't think Gavin would have showed up for the episode. So it's good that Maxi hit a half court shot and force overtime. And now we're here doing Tweak Talks. Everything worked out. He did it for us, I think.
I can't believe what I just witnessed.
The W. We could do the round the horn. How's everyone doing? I'm going to do how are you doing, Chuck? No mix-up. I'm just going to go right for it.
Okay. I had a good time at Level Up. My only gripe was I didn't really get to play the Rivals 2 beta, so that sucked. I really liked that game and I wanted to play it. But Level Up was still an awesome event, so I had a good time at Level Up. It's been the last time I traveled was Genesis, so yeah, it was good seeing all the homies and stuff. And then I went down like $200 in blackjack, so that kind of sucked. But oh well. What about you, Pink?
We're good. Yeah, life's good. Watched some Smash this weekend. Level Up was like, it was all right. It was like, we'll get into it later, but that was a cool event. We got some Japanese international events coming up, so I'm excited about that. Kendrick dropped.
Go.
Oh my gosh. Like, it's I love him, dude. I mean the worst part about like my life currently is that the Lakers lost, man. Like, we might have another like one more season of LeBron in the playoffs and it's over. Like, that's a weird thing to think about.
Maybe not even that.
I'm saying, right? Like, this could have been his last playoff run.
Yeah.
To be clear, you're not a Lakers fan. You just LeBron's legacy ending or LeBron as his career. Yeah. Is what you're talking about. Yeah.
So unfortunately, I've been a Suns fan my entire life, and like I hold no weight. I don't expect them to ever perform, so it's all good. They got swept. Is what it is. All right.
Anthony Edwards is
dude. I mean, like, when you think about it, the NBA it's got a good future ahead.
It's in good
like,
hands.
They're building some stars for sure.
It's in good hands.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Gavin. Actually, you're going to be talking a lot. Has.
Yep.
It's all you.
Dude. I don't know. Twitter's been hilarious, like you said. I had a great day today because Twitter's been so funny with NBA playoffs in full swing, plus the Kendrick diss track coming out. Twitter was great today. Life is good, man. I've been busy. Bought a new car. Feeling good about it. Picked it up today. Yeah. It's exciting stuff. I don't know. I'm feeling good. I watched great Smash over the weekend, actually. Level Up. But then there was also TGF over in All Francais. Some great play there. I'm excited to talk about, actually. Not who you might expect at a French tournament for me to talk about as my favorite player, or one of my favorite players to watch over the weekend. Some of the best ultimate I've seen this player have in a while. So I'm excited to talk about the winner of that event as well. But, yeah, man, everything's good. I can't complain. Gavin, what's uppy?
Yeah, I've been traveling a bunch recently. Spent a bunch of money at Level Up on Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff.
True. God.
Trying to get back into the swing of Smash. Practice a lot more than I did in Miami, so I'm definitely like trying to force myself to really lock in. I got kind of smoked, but I practiced a little bit today, technically. Yeah, I'm all right. Sixers just won. We're surviving. It's 3-2. In favor of the Knicks, but we'll see. And yeah, the weather's really nice back at home, so that was nice to come back to. Finally was able to sleep for once last night. And yeah, that's about it.
All right, good podcast, guys. We'll see you next week. Make sure you subscribe to the Patreon.
Oh, speaking of,
actually, that was on purpose. Chuck, hit it. Hit the people.
All right, guys, if you guys do enjoy the content, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. Today, our Patreon topic, if you guys do want to support us the most, the best thing you can do is support us on Patreon. This week's topic is Gavin's been working on a new pocket on and offline. So it's still the beginning phases. I don't know how much he'll commit to the character, but I think it's you're kind of like feeling the character out, and yeah, Patreon will go over what the character is and just how I guess the beginning phases of this is going. It is a character he's never played in tournament super seriously. He's brought it out like a couple times off stream that people won't know about, like the first couple years of Ultimate. But yeah, super excited to get into that. We'll see what the character is. And yeah, let's get into some topics, man. I mean, there was a bunch of tournaments that happened this weekend. I guess we could just start off with Level Up because myself and Gavin were there. So how was Level Up for you, Gavin, in terms of, I mean, you can work from like outside of bracket and then go into bracket if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm about to start shuffling cards on the stream again. Yo, I saw those.
Shit, we forgot to tell you.
I'm sorry, I will not do that again. I didn't know it was even that loud. My bad.
And, shit is loud, bro.
You were like feeding it into the mic was the main problem.
My bad, bro.
Cards had something to say.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. It was nothing crazy for me on the Smash end when it comes to like playing. Yeah, I mean, I think the hardest part was I was like driving myself crazy because I couldn't tell if the stream setup was laggy. Because I kept asking and no one was sure if it was. But whenever I would play on the off-stream setups, it felt like I was playing much better. I know the stream setup was like less was lower quality than the other monitors. Like it was like pixely. So I don't know if I was just driving myself insane or if I was right. Usually I'm pretty good at that kind of thing. But yeah, I was playing like I couldn't input anything. Even Marcus was noticing that like... It just looked like I was struggling out there. But yeah, I mean, I had a decent run. I got fourth place, which is like, in terms of number, it's like not terrible, but I didn't really have much of an impact, I would say, on the bracket. So yeah, light kind of smoked me. Felt like I just couldn't get my footing. Like I just miss inputs everywhere, bad confirms, like just can't move really well, especially when you're playing against someone like light where they're just like bullying you. Like, and if it's already such a bad matchup, you're just not, you have no chance. So I'm either like really behind on in my execution or I'm right about the setup or both. So that was rough. And then in losers, I got a nice like matchup in my favor. Like I played Jazzo and his Ken and Ryu, but I was still playing like super terrible, so I just felt like I never quite got my footing. And then I played Sonics, and like I just still haven't even have the faintest idea of how to beat Sonics like at all, especially with Diddy. Like I feel like this is most of the time for most characters, if not all characters. If Sonic gets like the first good hit or the first stock, I guess technically you just lose. But I tried to mix it up with stages and everything. But once again, I feel like with a character as fast as Sonic, like if you're not executing, like if so many of your inputs are misinputs, like you're going to explode. I was about to say I got 3-0'd, but I did manage to take a game. I stole a game with Sephiroth, but like it's one of those things where you know like you're only doing so much. Like you're like can't stop the inevitable if you're not playing well. So yeah, I mean... Like I said, it felt like I didn't have as much of an impact on the bracket as I would have liked, but yeah.
The Sephiroth games were fun. I mean, the fourth game, you almost brought it back.
Yeah, it was decent. The matchup's definitely better because Sephiroth's anti-airs are pretty big against certain like movements that Sonic does around the stage when he's like going corner to corner, like running away from you. I really like Sephiroth's like up air in that matchup and stuff. If you actually like, you know, anticipate in time like Sonic's movement. Like Diddy doesn't really have like good hitboxes or anything versus Sonic. So it's hard to like trap his movements and it's hard to like get him to move in like a predictable timing. But Sephiroth actually can like make something happen. So that's good.
Yeah, do you feel like Banana's like your really only thing that controls neutral versus Sonic, and then if he takes it away, it's like, damn.
I think it can control neutral, but not in the way of like throwing it. I don't think throwing it does anything unless the Sonic like isn't using their like invincibility frames and movement and all that. If you like, I actually played the matchup super terrible. It feels like Sonic is so overwhelming in the weirdest way, because it's like in a defensive way that like I just lose track of my game plan and just do none of it. Reminds me of Light sometimes too. Like sometimes if Light's like playing well or if I'm not playing well, I just like what do I do against Fox again? Like, and I just never figure it out, and then you blink and the game is over. So like you can control the stage versus Sonic by like placing the banana on the stage and like control, like being close to it and like trying to get him to do something. It doesn't do that much, but it helps you with managing your shield health, and like you can control the ground a little bit easier. But as like a confirm or like a projectile, it's pretty useless, I would say, against someone that like knows what they're doing. Obviously, everyone can make mistakes, but especially Peanut. Like Peanut versus Sonic is like against Sonic like cornering himself with spin dash. It's like, okay, good luck. You're probably gonna get whiff punished, but kind of invincible too.
Yeah, yep, that Peanut, matchup sucks. Like. He doesn't even have to. He doesn't have to be invincible. You could just hit the Peanut, like
yeah,
with his any one of his moves, which is hilarious.
Yeah. So sometimes it feels like Diddy's like what I like about Diddy Sonic is he's good at getting the first hit technically, like better than most. Like he can get the first opening if he gets like a trip or a monkey flip. Like monkey flip kick is good against the spin if he doesn't like release it. In the right time, like if I can like stop him before he like gets too dangerous, like there's like barrels and stuff, but like it's all like way more linear than like anything Sonic chooses to do. So it's tough. I did mix up the stages, which is like something to be proud of, because usually I'm like winging it with it when it comes to game plans and stages. So I feel like Sonic benefits a little too much on some of the wider stages. So like I don't want to. Like, if I can avoid PS2, I think it's good.
Bro, I'm watching.
Battlefield was, I think, worth a shot. I think Smashville was definitely worth a shot. I think Town and Cities, no. FD, no. I assume they're going to ban FD, which they do. Hollow, definitely not. Even though I love Hollow, I feel like Hollow is a super throw. So that was something formulating, but... Yeah, I definitely have to like start practicing more, like figure something out, because it felt like I was just like filler for the bracket for like the top three to just move on.
Real quick, random sidebar, but hey, start.gg, can we get a dark mode? Do you see this? What's going on my camera here? This is switching between two tabs. This is so it's like that iCarly meme. What the hell? I'm just trying to look at a bracket. Flashing. I want to be able to see. Can I shout out one of my goats, Jazzo, real quick?
Yeah, he beat Wrath.
He beat Wrath, dude.
Crazy,
if you know,
crazy matchup.
Fucking sucks, obviously. But if you know about Jazzo and playing at bigger tournaments, you remember at MomoCon? You guys were there last MomoCon when he lost to Wrath, too. It was like a similar situation. He had to play Wrath. I don't know if it was to get into top eight, but it was like that part of the bracket. And he was like real upset about it. Jazzo, obviously a passionate player. But... making that matchup work is like, I can't emphasize how fucking hard that is. Like it's really hard, and Wrath's very, very good. So shout out to Jazzo. Good set against Light too, honestly. That was like, that's probably one of his best chances to get a really, really good win, is that matchup specifically, is Fox versus Ken. So you could just kill Fox sometimes. But yeah, I was really happy to see Jazzo do well. I was happy to see Mute do well, and Light, obviously. Congrats to Paris for winning the event.
Yeah,
it was overall like I had a good time watching the event overall. So what do you think, Chuck? I know you were there as talented Chuck. What'd you think of Level Up?
It was a fun event. I had a great time at Level Up. What's up?
Aside from the two honey.
Oh yeah, I mean I had a great time at Level Up. Like I said, I haven't traveled since Genesis, so it was really fun to see everyone again. And Vegas is always a good time. Well, I guess not always, but if you're winning money or losing money, I think just gambling with your friends is fun, right? So I had a good time just hanging out with people. We went to this restaurant called Yardbird or something. That was probably the best part about it, in terms of just the food was so good. That was the best chicken waffles I've ever had in my life. So. I actually regret what I got, because I didn't get the chicken and waffles, and then Paris let me try his chicken and waffles. I was like, damn, it's really good. What so if you guys are ever in Vegas, you can try that place out. It's really, really good. It's in the Venetian. And then the actual bracket itself, I had a really good time watching Mute versus Sonics was probably in winners, was probably one of the more interesting matches because
that was inspiring, bro. Because I feel like Sonic in some ways could be harder than Diddy Sonic. I could be wrong, but like in my head when I play it out, I feel like she has a hard time with Sonic too. So I was just like, bro, if Mute's doing it, like I can do it. Did not fucking
Mute says
out,
Mute said that that matchup's pretty rough because Mute can't really do much against homing attack off stage. And we saw in the loser set that Sonics was getting a lot more confident and aggressive off stage. We saw a lot more interception, like fares on the Peach side B bomber to the ledge. I think Mute got away with a lot of those in winner's side. I also just think Mute's neutral and defense was way better in the winner set and was able to timeout. I think it was a one timeout, but there was a bunch of other games that got down to like sub 30 seconds. And I count those as timeouts too, because eventually the player that is losing has to make really huge swings and really large commitments for the KO or just to get some damage in. And then usually they get punished. Right. But
yeah.
I mean, I think Mute did a really good job. I think I think it's hard for Sonics to play that matchup really slow because you're taking a really large risk. There was even the game that Sonics timed himself out in was, I don't know if it was the last game, but it ended up like Sonics SD'd at like 1 second left. So again, it was pretty much a timeout. But Sonics came in on the last stock. Mute still had two stocks high percent, and he burned maybe like 30-ish seconds around there, just standing there doing nothing. But I just think against Peach is a character, one of the few characters that can extend disadvantage scenarios by like maybe 3 seconds plus because of float, right? So it's like, okay, double jump, high, float, wait. Like Peach can just extend the time of disadvantage scenarios. So I think particularly that gamble wasn't worth it. Obviously, it's hindsight. Like maybe he wastes that time, right? Gets the KO immediately and then hits one spin attack and he has the lead. But it's a pretty huge gamble in my opinion just because of how float works. And I think Sonic gets so much off of offstage scenarios. You don't really have to play the I won't interact with you game, you know what I mean? And on top of that, the more you back up, the more Mute can just cycle through turnips. And I personally don't know. Right, and I think that's one thing that is nice about Peach rather than Diddy. It's like, oh, if you take a turnip, I can pull another turnip. So you still have some item to throw at him to either slow down the spin or clank the spin so you have more time to react and stuff like that. But yeah, I think when I was talking to Mute, because I roomed with Mute this weekend, so I was talking to Mute about the matchup, and he was just saying homing attack is just completely dismantles Peach because Peach doesn't really have any attack to fight back with. Usually you want to fight back with homing attack, but the way neutral is angled, Peach doesn't cover. If Peach is facing towards the ledge, Peach, it's like diagonal like this, right? So above and in front of her, there's no hitbox, and that's exactly where homing attack connects. So it's just really hard for Peach to fight back against Sonic off stage unless she has turnip in hand.
Yeah.
So that was the big thing. And then, I mean, obviously we saw that in losers, like Sonic started going crazy off stage. He's usually crazy off stage, but it definitely showed that he was willing to go for more off stage plays in the second set in losers, and it paid off a lot. And then of course Light won. So that was dope, right?
Yeah. Good chip there.
That was my guy. I mean,
The second set was crazy, man. It was game five, last stock, last hit. Tech chase on the platform, missed tech in the back air. I felt like Light was. He definitely needed that backup set because Sonic won the first set, and it felt like Light wasn't. He had reads on tech chases, but he was just messing them up. He lost a couple games where he just straight up tried to up smash attack in place, was too late. Shield came out, and then Sonic's like forward smashed him or up smashed him. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of games like that. And once Light honed in and was like, oh, okay, well, now I'm just going to go for forward smash or just started timing things correctly, that was the turning point in my opinion, because that's when you can start getting KOs on Sonic really, really early.
Yeah. Actually, I appreciate Chris, our producer, putting this exact this is game five, but the last hit where Paris, he was just getting ping ponged around for like five or six interactions, just back and forth. Like, really got to give him a lot of credit, be able to put his feet back on the ground. And like you said, Charles, get that tech situation, get the back air and clean up that last game. But it was looking, we've seen Light in that position so many times with Fox where it's like, he's just getting beat up until it's like time to take the stock and then he's gone and that's it. But he was able to hold on there at the end, which is super cool. It was good to see him take it down, but I totally agree where it's like, and against a player like Sonics, I think having that extra time, I think it usually benefits Sonics more often than it does whoever he's playing against. I think he's just such a good adapter and so strong at so many things in the game that typically if you give him more time and more games, he figures more out. But in that second set against Light, Light was able to clutch it out, which I think is very, very impressive. So good stuff, Paris. You got to give it up sometimes to my guy.
Yeah. He's one of the best, and he's one of the best for Sonic too, which is really inspiring. He was giving a lot of us advice for Sonic, for whether like me and Mute like played versus Sonic or just like playing versus Sonic in general in the future, especially Sonics. And he puts it, you know, he puts it to work, his own advice, and definitely something I'll have to watch and take note for the future. Yeah, we played a bunch of Paris and I played a bunch, really got me back into the swing of practicing. And yeah, it's just cool, you know. He's winning the tournament, but he also is helping us all in the process while he's doing it, which was really, really sick. And it's a back to back too. He won Level Up last year as well. So
congrats. He talks a lot about caring about how the USA does as a region, yeah. Which is really, I don't think we have enough of that, honestly. I think every other region has super fans. I mean, EU, the whole damn, not just French dimension, but all parts of EU show up huge, whether it's for Gluta. They have their own internal rivalries too, which is awesome. We have that as well, just not as strong as they do. And then obviously Japan being the strongest region helps, but also they just have such a passionate fan base. And I really appreciate Paris being like, look, I'm ride or die for my country and my players that I'm around all the time. I really respect that. He talks about it a lot and I'm glad to hear. And I mean, I've seen it at tournaments before, but he was doing it at Level Up with you guys, which is super cool. So shout out to him for doing that. So W Paris.
I also want to shout out, if you guys were watching, so Paris thought that the best play he did that weekend was right before he gets the KO on Sonics. He actually does a neutral air dodge into tech row left against Sonics' up smash. If he did a neutral air dodge or swung there, he died and he lost the game. But I think this is still one of the dumber mechanics in the game, that you can go for an air dodge or a directional air dodge into a tech while you're
yeah.
tumble. Actually, it's actually one of the few advantages you have while being in tumble, that you have the option to neutral air dodge or directional air dodge into a tech in place or tech roll. So yeah, I mean that it's very subtle, and most people probably miss that. And Fox also has one of the best neutral air dodges because he's the fastest flyer in the game. So the window in which you can neutral air dodge and then go into a tech roll like that. But that was the only way Paris could have got out of that situation.
It's especially brutal when you're fighting a fast faller, because it's essentially taking away all your confidence from being able to press buttons while you're in advantage state, which is super broken to have that quality without doing anything. Like the fast faller doesn't have to do anything to take that confidence from you because of how much invincibility and movement they get from it. So especially if your juggle tool like has any sort of commitment, it's just not even worth it to swing. It's pretty broken.
Yeah. When I first started playing this game, years way, way, way back when it released, man, this is an old game. I was so used to like traditional vertical advantage of like juggling, yeah. And I would like, but I live in a region that had ZD and Dexter, and like it was Fox Wolf every week, like twice a week. And I played Zero Suit, and on the way down, I would hit them and I'd be like, okay, it's time for my juggle state. Like, but I would get neutral aired, and I was like, wait, okay, like I'm just gonna wait out the neutral air. And then I would like try to delay and hit them after the neutral air. So I was like position for it. And then they would just air dodge. And I was like, what is this? Like, not only do you have the ability to like get out of the situation with invincibility, you also have the reversal potential to like,
you're in the position for your best possible hit. Yes. Nair up.
So, like, start getting big damage or like you're confirmed and takes the stock, like it's actually really strange when you like hit like Fox specifically, I guess we can use Fox upward, where like it feels like you're in disadvantage. It's like, wait a second, like this dude's coming down, I need to watch out.
You absolutely are.
Like
if you're anywhere under, you are not an advantage.
Yep.
Get out of the way. Move.
Yeah, like I don't know.
But
it's like it's pretty common across a lot of characters in Ultimate. I just think Fox is the best at it, like it's the strongest. Where you like he's coming down, you just have to move to the side and it turns into like punishing landings. I think that's actually probably the strongest thing to do in Ultimate, is just like take the position, the best position that you can get from.
It's crazy. Your hit. When I'm fighting Light, when he's above me, I'm treating it like a tech chase. Like I need to wait for the tech and tech chase him after that, which is so weird because like there's so much downtime between him falling and actually teching, and I'm already committed to like playing the ground game. It's just hilarious to really think about it. Like you should see like some of the notes I've written down, especially when I was playing a lot of Sephiroth versus him, like the amount of effort I put into just getting the extra hit in advantage state. And I was like, okay, dash, pivot down tilt, like
yeah, like, right, like you have to like
all this stuff when I should be able to like just obliterate him, but like it's more so like maybe 8 damage maybe.
Yeah, and that's why I tell people, like they're like, dude, Fox is insane. I'm like, well, first of all, the first thing you need to do is you need to hit him horizontally. Like, don't even – your combo – like, there are times where your combo should go for max damage. Like, if you're, like, I don't know, like Luigi or something or Falco, and you're going to get, like, you know, 70, 80 or something like that. But the difference between 30 and 50, but 30 puts him, like, toward offstage and 50 puts him above you, just take the 30 and you go with the position from there.
You can't tech the air, bro.
Yep.
He can't tech the air.
And his options to get back are reactable and
and
linear, so it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Fox off state, like Fox is one of the better characters to beat in a juggle situation. I mean, obviously it's not as good as like Steve Anvil or anything like that. I don't think anything is crazy.
Bro, as had Steve to throw the Steve hate in.
I'm just saying, you guys think Fox Nair is crazy? Watch this projectile that I can ride down and then start charging a fucking down smash after I hit your shield with the fucking anvil.
You think that shit's not, but can juggle Steve, but not Fox.
But not Fox, yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say Fox is one of the best in terms of like being when you're in a juggle. And that's why there's a lot of scenarios as Fox where you actually DI up. You DI up certain hits and then you double jump. You DI up, you double jump immediately, and then you're in the air and you're like, okay, I got no double jump, but I have Shine Saw, I have neutral air dodge, I have Nair. Like it's a pretty good position to be at as Fox. But on the flip side, when he's off stage, it's like pretty bad. I won't say it's like it's pretty much curtains, because I don't know why they did this, but they bust Firefox, which was not a good idea. But they bust Firefox, so the hitbox is bigger. And it does like 30 damage or whatever, and you can die off of a mistech at 20% ? Really weird. But you definitely want him off stage more than above you, because Fox getting juggled is not, it's a pretty easy scenario to get out of. Like, you can still get punished, obviously.
And he can't even hit Fox more than one time.
I think one of the truest ways to learn how to fight against a character is think about what the people who play that character complain about the most. And that's probably where you want to keep them. You know what I'm saying? Like Fox players always talk about how the recovery is dog shit. It's so terrible. Like, it's so easy to kill him off stage and all that stuff. No, none of them are talking about how hard it is to land. You know what I'm saying?
What else they gonna complain about?
Out of nowhere. They take a lot of shots of Steve for no reason.
If you're fighting Fox, up equals bad, sideways equals good.
Down equal best.
Meteor spike down attack go.
Very good.
I mean, a lot of times you don't even need
if it outranges Firefox.
Like, remember how Wario? What you would do with Wario? You would like do like a little tickle of down air, and he just boom.
Do you know how that works?
Drops like a rock. Nope. Somehow you rising.
Every hit with Wario alternates between what it'll do to Fox. So like. Every hit with Wario, like one hit brings you in, the next hit pushes you out. One hit brings you in, the next hit pushes you out. So one, like every other hit of that down air will kill Fox, and then the other hits, he will be able to recover or like get another chance. So if you get the best hit, he just dies. But if you get if you get the wrong hit, he has a chance, but he'll probably die anyways.
That move sounds like it was programmed by Wario himself. Like, that shit is a WarioWare minigame. Like, even it's
I'm like pretty sure that's how it works. Either way, I'm right that it's like every other hit that kills Fox.
Yeah. I like that. Either way, I'm right. Nice. I'm gonna start using that. That's great.
I'm right on something.
You could do the Mithra. Dude, I was shocked at how many people didn't know that Mithra can do that, like, Luigi-type plunger thing, toilet bowl, to Fox with neutral B. Cosmos has done it to Light for, like, years.
Oh, yeah. I see it every friendly session. Yeah.
That was found out a long time ago.
Somehow, there's so many times I've watched where Light comes out alive and Cosmos comes out dead.
Dude, it's like, Cosmos, what happened?
Well, if the neutral B whiffs, Mithra dies. Because if the neutral B whiffs, she keeps on
sleeping. Yeah, she just keeps falling.
Oh, yikes.
But it's so way easier when you can, because you can B reverse it. So you usually catch Fox trying to go towards the stage and you can like go right above him, B reverse it. That's the best way to do it.
He just does it. Like, it rinses repeats a few times. I look away, look back. Cosmos is dead. Light is not.
Ferris usually, is laughing.
Usually it's curtains for Fox, but
I just thought of a good Patreon topic. We should talk about most uninspiring combos that make you upset when it happens to you. That's a great Patreon topic right that now. We should cover someday.
I'll do it right now.
No, save it. Save it for another day. We got
Gavin's secret character, bro.
Yeah, hold that. That's a good one. Good Patreon topic. I was pumped because you texted me about your secret character. I was like, oh, hell yeah. We'll see how it's going, though. We'll check in with Gavin in the Patreon.
Not that secret, but I guess we're going to make it secret.
Is it one of those, but like, is it like combos that like you know that they're getting hyped for, but like you're like, bro, like,
you know they're feeling themselves after bullshit, and you're like, that's so stupid, you know? Not that any of our characters have those.
Yeah, that's for the next Patreon. We'll go over that. Another set that was
so
really fun,
dude. I'm so like they're flooding right now.
I've got a lot. I also have a lot. I also have a lot that I know people hate like Fox players for doing, but Fox players think it's sick.
Oh yeah, it's like when you hit me with up airs, I'm like, cringe. Did you lab that dude? That was super sick.
No, it's not the up air combos, man. Come on. Unless it's falling up air, that's
like shield poking. Not this clip is like the most annoying thing ever.
Which one?
Oh, especially if Light gets hyped after winning off of a shield poke, I'm mentally done. Like
shield poke. Gavin hates shield pokes so much. I've heard him complain about shield pokes a lot.
Yeah.
This weekend?
It messes my whole mojo, bro. Like, I'll be practicing and like you get jump scared because you're hit by a move while you're shielding. How am I supposed to play after that? The rules of life have just been broken.
Wow, you're tilting it up. It's not fair.
Dude, sometimes I'm tilting it up and I get fucking shield poked, bro. What the fuck is that? All right.
Oh, backward aerial. Man.
True.
That was shield.
Yeah.
Which one was shield?
All of them.
Can I say what I teased at the beginning of the episode, that Big Boss was a fucking treat to watch this weekend? That was some of the best Rob I've seen since Genesis Free. That was amazing. Shout out to Big Boss. He was back airing off stage like 1,000 times, just stalling, popping over the like his play over the ledge was really good, and his patience on stage and against he beat Gluto in Grands. He actually 3-0'd him. I think it was a reset, but he 3-0'd him the final set there. The first two games were close, and the final game was a wash, which is saying a lot. So I feel like Gluto, he's coming back to full power here in his new controller. So it's good to see a good competitive set with Gluto and then seeing Big Boss play so well. I feel like he's a player that when he's playing on, he's super fucking good, but he just needs to find his rhythm. I feel like some tournaments he shows up and his mojo isn't there for whatever reason. But if he can find it, he becomes really good. Like, he looks like the best Rob in the world sometimes, to be honest with you. To me, at least. Like, he looks so, I don't know, man. Watch that set. It was a treat. For the French tournament this weekend, so
it is impressive because Gluto's known as like the best adapter in Ultimate across a lot of like you know his peers that are some of the best players ever. So, I can attest to that for sure. And the weird thing about Wario Rob is like I've been on the Wario end of it quite a few times. It feels like the best matchup ever, and then sometimes it feels like you like can't really get a hit. It's really weird. It seems like it's starting to turn to the side of you can't get a hit.
Yeah.
But it's a weird one for sure. Because, you know, back in my day, it was a great matchup. But lately, it hasn't been like too good. And I think it all started like a couple years back when like Zomba took a set off of Gluto at a glitch. I feel like that set specifically not only changed Wario vs. Rob, that might have changed the fate of the planet.
Something shifted, bro.
I think that changed everything, period. Like just
back before. In his day.
I think that what shifted Smash. Like now Sonix is here. Now Zomba's winning majors when he was like the kid at the local. Like something changed, bro. And I blame Gluto and Zomba, yeah.
Yeah, well, remember who Zomba had to beat on his path to those Genesis W? Very, very last hit situation, game 5 against Gluto. That was a fucking sick set as well.
I thought you were going to say a really good set. Company. I was like, yeah, he's done that a few times.
Say what? Did I do that to you on your own podcast?
Yes.
Come on.
Remember that time Zomba beat you, Gavin?
Which
times?
Which one?
Sorry, I forgot to use the plural.
That little shit, bro.
Where has he been? I think he had a rough tournament recently, too. I don't know what he's up to, but...
Hopefully he's in his control.
I miss that dude, bro. He's hilarious.
I know. He's great. He's just, again, he's just fun to have around.
Didn't Jackal go to an event?
Jackal's been doing well. He went to the Canadian tournament. French. Maybe it was French-Canadian, actually. The Canadian tournament. I watched him play doubles, actually, with Z. That was a good time, too. I actually watched a lot of Smash this weekend. It was a fun time. I still don't know the results of that tournament, though. I didn't watch singles. But I watched him play doubles, which is a W.
Jackal got second. He lost to Smok.
Smok. Ah, hey, that's one of my goats. Come on.
Did he play Roy?
Yep.
Probably, yeah. He's mostly Roy now.
That matchup sucks.
That's a difficult one. But it's a classic at the same time.
So. Yeah. Dude, there are like certain matchups you see that, I guess that's the word I would use, like classics. Like, whenever you see like Fox Peach or something like that, you know,
like matchup, bro.
Yeah, you just start getting excited. Like it's something about it that you can't help.
Fox Peach is a little tough for Peach too.
That's what I was gonna say though. It's interesting. Top 4 at Level Up was all vanilla characters, basically. You know what I'm saying? A little Sephiroth
vanilla.
In there.
Vanilla character.
Yeah,
but Sonic wasn't installed for a while. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Diddy got super buffed. Like,
that's true. Yeah, Diddy fits in with the original characters. I would say.
Yeah, he's still like
he belongs. He's familiar enough, I'd say.
I don't know.
Back in my day, characters.
Oh,
pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Ike. If you were in Melee, people are hyped to see it. You know. Even people are hyped for like in this game, like Puff something. I'm like, bro, how?
So you say Ice Climbers?
They are.
That does happen, yeah.
I don't know.
Ice Climbers and Kazuya are fun to watch.
Kazuya, the notable Melee character. You just had to remember unlocking him. Mewtwo. People love Mewtwo. That's just because he's raw, though.
Unlocking Mewtwo as a kid was magical, bro.
It was.
That was very cool.
In Melee. And then my brother deleted my save file and I had to do it all over again.
The classic.
I was crying to my dad. My dad was like, bro, I don't know what happened, but fix it. I was like so hysterical. He like couldn't understand me.
Even if you were, how the fuck do you explain that to your dad? You know, like what? How is he ever going to understand? There's a Mewtwo and now it's gone. It's like, what? what do I do with this information?
For Melee 64, like, I wasn't using the internet, so I was unlocking shit on accident. Like, so it was, like, extra magical. I didn't know those characters were in the game. Like, bro.
Yeah.
For Luigi in 64, that was the last character I needed, and I just didn't know how to get him. And I started theorizing who it could be, even though it was clearly Luigi, like the silhouette. I was like, what if it's Wario? Like, to myself.
Bro, how old were you? You had to be, like, 4.
I was pretty old. Pretty young.
This was shit last year.
Yeah.
Who is it?
And I asked my brother, and he like went and looked it up. I'm like, how does he know everything?
The power of the internet.
The last character I unlocked in 64 was Ness. I had such a hard... Because with Ness, you have to beat the game on normal with 3 lives. And I thought that was like the hardest fucking thing.
I just never did break the targets for Luigi. I just never played that shit. Like,
yeah. Break the Target was fun, though. Like, just playing...
It was fun. I just forgot about it.
This is actually a fun topic because there have been a lot of platform fighters popping up again, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because to me, like... And actually, I had a really good conversation with Aaron about this. Aaron, the Diddy player, friend of the show, obviously, he actually has a video about what makes like fighting games and how they exist and stuff. And it kind of bled into this conversation about like Smash is so special, like not just because like, whoa, we were at Evo and like, you know, these big tournaments happen and Gavin and Leo and Gluto and Mango and all the Melee guys, like, yeah, that's a part of it. But bro, it's just a good fucking game. Like, it's just a good game. Like 99% of the people who buy this shit don't even think about tournaments. They don't know what Start.gg is. You know, they don't know. It doesn't matter. And I think that's where like a lot of these newer gen kind of platform fighter games fail a little bit. Absolutely. Is like, bro, just make a fun fucking game. Like, I think it's so near impossible. And obviously like Rivals is doing great and Multiverse is coming back, like all that stuff. Competing with Smash in a space that it created in such a special and natural way is so such a tall fucking task. And it's not just Smash. Like, there's so many games. This is like 100% certified boomer moment. Like, so many games that were just designed to be good fucking games, and then people turn them into tournament style type games because they liked them and played them and thought they were nice and wanted to prove that, rather than, here's a whole tournament circuit. Here's all this shit. You guys should try to play this game and get good at it and fit into this mold that we have. It's just, we think we're fucking nice and we want to prove it. Like, I don't know, man. I think there's just...
I love everything you just said. I genuinely wish I could talk about stuff like this as, like, a career.
If only you had a fucking podcast that people listen to every week.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to something else, but...
I guess you don't have a platform you can't talk about this.
Did I just not do this? I'm confused.
First off, super shout out to Rivals for having their own identity, like actually having its own identity. Super respect to Rivals. One and two, both of them equal respect.
Agreed.
But yeah, I might get flamed a little bit for this, but when it comes to like a competitive game being at its best, and I think like online games, like competitive games in general, whether it's tournaments, online, I truly believe the closer the devs get to competitive players, the worse the product is. And I think the second the two cross paths, like just straight up crossing paths, I think it's over. I think the purity of the video game is ruined immediately.
I think there's a balance. It's extreme,
but it's where I stand, and I'm sorry. It's just how I feel. I think like Overwatch has like no soul. Like I'm pretty extreme right now. I talk about this on my stream, so it might not be a surprise to some people, but I think it's just weird to like for a competitive player. Like I come on this show and complain about competitive Smash all the time. If my voice was specifically listened to in the next week, I saw the game was different because I like a competitive player like me said something, it'd be ruined immediately. Not just for me, but for anyone. Like, I shouldn't know how this game is made. I shouldn't know any of the developers. We shouldn't interact. And especially, like, maybe it's because of what I do specifically with, like, Smash and Nintendo. Like, I think that, like, that separation and purity is really important. Like, I think it's really weird for a competitive streamer, like someone going live and playing the game competitively, like to be taken into account. Like it's very, I'm super against it. And I mean, there's a lot of validity to what I'm saying, at least with like just things that happen in gaming. So
I think it's really interesting, and obviously things evolve and things change. So like you have to try like to do what the consumer said, not do what they say. I think there's such a line between doing what consumers or the players say and having your own fucking brain and idea of what should be fun or what should be good in a competitive game and finding a good middle ground, because what the consumers say or the players say does matter, but they're also like of a different caliber or of a different like mindset when they look at the game, because they look at it through their own lens, right? They look at it through, like, for example, like Paris will look at Smash through a Fox player lens, right? Through X, Y, and Z lens, which is just different than looking at the game or the scene in total. It's just different. Like it's a different perspective you have to have. And I agree with you in a lot of ways, Gavin, but I think it's complex too. Like I have sympathy for these people trying to figure it out, trying to navigate it. It's hard.
I think it's also a privilege for like some games where they don't have to listen to that side because they're so profitable regardless. And I guess some games make their games with esports in mind because they think they need it to succeed. And that makes a lot of sense. Like, I get that. Like, they know, like, they can't grow out enough without considering esports being their main factor or something. But yeah, I just think
it's a marketing tool, but yeah. Essentially it's like, do you want to have this as worth it. Part of your marketing?
I don't think esports should ever be the marketing tool. I really don't.
Well, it depends how strong your IP is, right? Like, Nintendo obviously doesn't need it because their IP is so strong and they have the legacy.
And it's a good game. It has the legacy of
esports being taken to account. It was a mistake made after the fact, in my opinion.
Right, but there are...
I always think of that example because it didn't
prove up concept-wise
of esports.
Proof of concept wise, like, League of Legends has done an incredible job using esports as a marketing tool. So it's like, when you look at the biggest video game esports wise, it's League, and they utilized esports marketing to propel that game and make a lot of money, right?
It's
not like it never works, right?
Genuine question about League, but when it just started, they were just like making a good MOBA, right? And then selling skins and characters and stuff. And then they started, once they had the capital, they kind of branched out a little bit. I didn't play League. I played Han.
Well, season one, like, well, right when it got out of beta, there was already like season ones, and it was Worlds. Like, it was scuffed, right? It wasn't as crazy as it was, but yeah, there is a season one World Champion.
So it was a part of the early part of it. Oh, that's interesting.
Correct.
But I mean, how many games have tried that model and has it worked out for?
Oh, I mean, League is the extreme example of it.
No, you're definitely right.
Working out, and it's just, but I don't know what the second best one is. Or, I mean, StarCraft was. Like, if I'm trying to think back in time, like, StarCraft was known for being competitive. There was a TV channel. I mean, Korea was ahead of the curve when it came to esports in general. But I remember when I was younger, there was like a TV channel, Channel 4 in Korea, that always played StarCraft all the time. It was competitive.
So dope.
And it was like, it was fucking huge back then. Cool. I mean, the thing that got me into esports was I was watching a YouTube video of like a Korean StarCraft tournament. And I was like, I want to do that. Like, that looks so fucking cool. Sick.
Wait, who's your race, Chuck? Are you Terran?
No, I'm Protoss. I'm not a piece of
shit. I know it, bro. Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. That's what I'm talking about.
I guess the most important thing to me is it's not even necessarily about the success of the esport, but like, I personally won't be a fan of the game, most likely. Because like...
Well, that's fair. And I think the games that...
The developers get to the competitive players, it just feels like the sacredness of a competitive game is like lost.
It becomes like a selling point, like, oh, that hero that you like is terrible. It's like, yeah, it's like a part of the product. Weird.
Like, the game is actively changing very often. The developers are close. Like, it's like,
that's funny.
No flame.
Who's the consumer anymore?
I used to get heated when I would look at, dude, Multiverses came out. No flame. They're great developers, new, blah, blah, right? Multiverses came out. Right. I'm actively watching. I used to call them Twitter first games, but that, like, I know they're player first, but like, I would look and see the Twitter complaints, and then see the Twitter complaints get patched, and then the game would get worse, and then they would complain, the people on Twitter would complain more, and then it would just continuously get worse, and they're like, bro, like, but like, there's so many different complaints from so many different angles. You can't like please everyone, so you just like pick one, and that was hard to watch, because I remember thinking like, bro, this game is gonna take off, like it's unique, like they can add things later, like they were like, I don't know, I felt like they were so focused on like what the consumers thought about it. Yeah,
people
like
pleasing.
And I want to have a warning to every YouTube comment that's argumentative to anything we're saying. I guarantee everything you say will be a misunderstanding. I guarantee.
You put that at the beginning of every video we do, by the way.
I guarantee I'll be looking at everything you read and find it like pointless and like it doesn't apply. I guarantee.
Make sure you put all your misunderstandings in the comments below.
Yeah.
Just so Gavin can read.
I'm going to read someone say, oh, but you guys curate the rule set for Smash completely different. Like, I'm going to read stuff like
that's,
that. Like,
that's what? Taking... That's what I like about Smash, is that the game was well designed to the point where you could play with fucking coins for an hour. That's a mode. Like, that exists. You could do that. And it's kind of a part of the problem why we can't agree on a rule set. Obviously, like the basics, like stock battle with the timer, like that all exists. Yeah, it's interesting. But I will say, Marcus, that is part of what made me start to think about this, because in the new version of WoW that's out, Season of Discovery, they've been doing a really good job just being like, here's what we're doing. It's fun. If it's way too broken, we'll change it. And that's it. Like, we know what we're doing. But they've started to roll back where they're like, community feedback. What do you guys think? Or what's fun? It's like, nope. You can't do it, man. They're not be in the driver's seat. You're the developer. You tell us what's fun. You don't have us tell you.
Stand your ground as a developer.
Yeah. Yeah, but what if you stand your ground and it just starts tanking? Like, I definitely feel like
it's hard. It's hard. It's hard.
There has to be a certain in between, but it's tough because of that, right? Like, you're trying to make sales. You're trying to make sure as much people like keep paying that monthly subscription for the money. I mean, even Smash Brothers, the reason why they don't have to give a fuck about competitive is because they just make so many base game sales, right? And when they make the game, they're trying to make the game as fun and easy entry level as low as possible, so a broader audience can buy their games. And I think that's the hard part about just like, if you're not Smash and your game's tied to competitive already, your entry, like your barrier entry is way sky high, right? Because I think everyone's first time playing Smash was free for all with items, and you don't really have to know what the hell is going on or like know how the game operates. Like, you just know the base controls and you kind of just get up and go, right? And that's the cool thing about Smash, is that it's so easy. And it's like usually a group of your friends that are trying to get you into it, like, oh hey, we're gonna play Smash Brothers, like, you want to come? We can play four players at a time, it's super dope, da da da, right? So I think that's the big part of why Smash
it's
is so
crazy good. To think that for like a lot of these FPS streamers, that they influence how the game is played, and they are just like stupid young adults.
It's crazy too, because think about it, what top Smash players, like, just to use our own community as an example, what top Smash players do you trust to balance the game? Fucking none of y'all. Fucking none of y'all. 1000%.
Someone sent me an image earlier. It was two different rule sets, and they said, which one, because I like tweeted that thing about Spargo and the seeding and like all that. Right, I don't want to talk about that. I don't really care to talk about it. But I tweeted that, and someone sent me like, they used to TO, and they sent me like, which rule set would you choose? And I was like me personally, like I know which one I would choose, but I know which one I think is better. And he just goes, and now you understand why Smash is that way. And I was like, well, I mean, you got me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know what I would want, but I also know what's probably better for the scene, but I'm still going to choose the other one, because, like, I want to win. Like, and I want to enjoy myself. Like, whatever.
Right. I think it's really interesting, too, because you're just talking about even, like, basic buff and patch culture is so, like, everyone wants something a little bit different. Do you want set seasons and set amount of time before things get changed? Or is it like, oh, fuck, you wake up on a random Tuesday and Kendrick drop his diss, and also Incineroar's side B is doing triple damage or whatever. You know, like, that shit would just happen.
I think developers have to have the confidence to ditch this entirely. I know it's risky, but for me, like, if I made a game, I would want it to not be artificial.
Question though, so let me ask you:
game with soul, not like season pass, like artificial competitive development, like.
That's interesting, because I kind of like a season pass, because it incentivizes and fuels them to continue to produce the game and make it more characters, whatever.
A general label of like the games with those vibes. Like,
oh, I see.
There's a way to do anything, I guess, but like,
let me ask you.
I'm 26, so I don't know if I'm just a few years too old to understand this type of thing.
You've seen one too many battle passes, man. You've had enough. But,
too many loot boxes.
But Valorant,
premium Yu-Gi-Oh!
But Valorant looks like an AI generated game. Like, it is scary how little soul it has, and it's scary that that's why it's like the general like thing to boot up for so many reasons. Like, it's just I don't, like, this shit is
we're entering a soulless world, man.
What it makes me think of, here's a good example:
Hero Soul.
I actually wanted this. That's actually weird that you're using the word soul. There's two things I actually wanted to say. The first one is, have y'all seen that Hunter x Hunter game? I actually think so. I was watching the Kill Sage's stream, and I see like his stream title was like Skull Girls, Hunter Hunter, and 2XKO, whatever. I'm a little iffy about 2XKO. We'll see.
We'll see.
I have my reserves about it because it's absolutely. Riot, but
absolutely reserves.
Yeah, but I watched it and I was like, dude, like there's some soul to this game. That like the exact wording, I was like, I feel like this.
Oh, game I give my proper rivals.
But there was something that, and this might branch into a whole nother. We'll be here for. Maybe it's another topic for another time, but have y'all seen like a lot of people talking about like the they're calling it like the dumbing down of fighting games, or like the push to make games more aggressive, even though that's not necessarily like
Tekken, right?
Like Tekken and Street Fighter, like, you know, like Drive Impact, and then Tekken with the
heat, lowering the skill barrier,
mm-hmm. overly rewarding something so that the boring thing isn't the best thing, right? Like turtling and sitting back and just blocking is so strong in earlier fighting games. So people did that a lot. And it's like, well, fuck that. If aggression is so good, it'll get rewarded and people will do it. But the problem is if you make the norm, everyone rushes each other down and that's all you see. It doesn't matter. If you see a Ferrari drive by you at 140 miles an hour, wow, that was pretty fucking cool. If it happens every four seconds of every day, you're going to be like, I'm so fucking sick of this Ferrari driving by me at 140 miles an hour. It doesn't matter what it is. People just want to see different things. And it's wrongly attributed to turtling is bad because it's boring, or playing defensively is bad because it's boring. That's not inherently correct. It's that it's a good strategy. So you see it a lot, right? Like that happens a lot and it's how it's done, right? Like it kind of comes back to Gavin's thing where he's like, he says he's not a camper and we all kind of like make fun of him and like grimace and shit or whatever. And it's like, it's all perspective, right? I think the community at large would not call you a camper for sure. Like, I agree with that. And a part of that is because you bring this a lot of other things to your play style that's interesting. So they don't see you as boring. So they won't call you a camper. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense? Like, and in terms of game,
I'm also just not a camper. I just have.
But it is in your toolbox. It is in your toolbox, and you're doing this.
You can't be a top player without it. Of course, it has to be.
Correct.
It has
to be. Me off, and I hate the way you're playing the game. I will ruin your day.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you'll camp in self defense. I get it. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's more so because I like to enjoy them flail.
Can I ask you, Gavin, what is a good example of a game that does fresh content, balance changes, but not based on what they're reading on Twitter, etc.? Do you have a game in mind that does a good job at that? Because I can think of a couple, but I'm curious to see what you'd say.
We used to have one, yeah. Oh, so, I was going to say TFT, but goodness gracious. Anyway.
Smash is genuinely a good example. I think Smash is a good example in terms of the excitement part. We have no influence over what they add. A balance patch has nothing to do with competitive play for the most part. We can think it does, but we don't even know for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty fucking amazing like how exciting the smallest things are for Smash, because we don't have a hand in this stuff.
What true. About like, think about like patch day streams. Like, y'all remember like people would pull up the stream, like, I wonder
make
what's
shit up. Be remember that?
Hey,
that was fun, yeah.
To get a patch, because we're like, bro, what's about to happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and some of the Japanese players like helped develop Smash Ultimate. We don't know what it was. We don't know how much influence they had.
They couldn't play for a while.
There's even a mystery around that, and that was like such a small scale and something they've never even done before. Like, it wasn't like a big like priority. But I think Smash is a good example, genuinely. And I know this is my lens, but I don't know. I just think it's really. Once again, Nintendo has the privilege of like flooding the game with IPs that have charm and history, whether it's like new or old, and like it's amazing for that. And I just personally like don't have an interest in playing anything without that soul and charm and like legacy, history, whatever, all those words. Like Valorant doesn't do anything for me. Like, what am I playing? Like, it feels very like just robotic, artificial, like even Overwatch, like there was a sense of something there, but I think it lost sight of itself, put a lot of focus on competitive. Like, it's just all like really fucking mid to me. Like, it's just really. And I think Street Fighter VI had an interesting idea for a 2D fighter. For 2D fighter, it's really difficult to like, I think they've been figuring this out for like a couple decades, and they don't know what to do to like put a 2D fighter to the next level. But Street Fighter VI certainly did something in the right direction with the single player mode, some of the customizable stuff. It's similar to some of like the artificial game design stuff, but they definitely put their own twist on it, and they're trying. There's some single player stuff on there. They did the modern controls with the custom controls. Like, they're definitely trying something there. And I think Street Fighter has enough of an impact to where they can afford to like mix and match some stuff. So, but yeah, I don't think you should ever make a game and be like, all right, we're making a competitive game and we have no like legacy or soul or charm behind it. Like, we're making original characters and all that. Like, I think you're already screwed. And that's why I give so much respect to Rivals, because they just really focus on doing their own thing. They kept pushing and polishing it. And it's like, I don't think of Smash when I think of Rivals. Rivals is its own thing. And I think that's pretty difficult to do. Like,
It didn't feel that way initially for me, but it does 1,000% now. Yeah. And it happened very quickly too. Like, at first I was like, oh, this is another platform fighter, like trying to.
I think it's a sign of confidence.
Now it's like, wow.
It's like confidence or something. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's so important. Like, when I think of a lot of other like platform fighters, I think of Smash first. And then I think I think there's a difference between like, you know, influence and just straight up, like, this is just trying to be Smash.
Like, how did Multiverses turn in? No flame.
Yeah, no
flame. Dude, I just remember like LeBron, like the LeBron trailer, like all the characters getting announced. I'm like, bro, this is the game didn't feel like anything. I like it. They like kind of had Brawlhalla ish vibes or whatever, sure. But like it had its own characters. I'm like, this is about to take off. Ain't no way. Like, this sucks, blah, blah, blah. And then I would just look at the patch notes. Man, I just saw like 20 people on Twitter complain about this. Like, way more than 20, but you know what I mean? Like, it was just how, like, and now we're trying to get back. I really hope it does well. Like games like NASB, like, I really like NASB. It was weird because I felt like it was like just, okay, this is like kind of a Smash clone, but at the same time, it had a little spark to it. Like, it didn't go anywhere, but it had a little spark to it. And I think that's what, when I like can look at a game and be like, man, this game got some soul. Gavin used the word charm earlier as well. I think that's another good word, but there has to be something that like captures you and it doesn't feel like empty. You know, I don't know how to, it's weird to say. I don't know how to explain
it. Very specific, but like a lot of these games like don't protect the mystique of the product either. Like, you'll know about all the characters before they're officially announced and revealed, all that stuff. Like with Smash, you don't know when the next console's coming out. You don't know, what characters are going to come out.
They don't know.
True. They have no idea.
You don't know anything about what's going to happen with competitive. Like, it's always in the air, and that's the fun part. And that's why I feel like we always want something new, because we're not the ones deciding what's new. Like,
yeah, I think that soul thing is a little subjective too, though, because it's like, if you think about it, what I think of when I think of games of soul, I think of Melee, like 1,000%. Yeah. And a part of that is the community's involvement in it and their identity that they crafted and worked on. Like, that's incredible. Their story is amazing, objectively. Like, it is what it is. But then I think of something 3. Like, I think of Third Strike. I think of Marvel 3. I think of CBS 2. Yes. Third Strike, obviously, like, one of my favorite games of all time. Did you watch Third Strike at Evo Japan?
It's
sometimes,
like, but think about when the game came out and how many people are still playing it.
I know. There's some magic. Don't get me wrong. I love Third Strike, and there's a lot of magic there.
Yeah.
However, the fact that three out of four of us grew up in an era where there were no balance patches going out to games widely for a long time. Like, that just wasn't happening, especially competitively. You got this version of this fucking game. This character's broken. This character sucks. Deal with it for 5 years until we make a new one. The end. Like, you got it. And there was even like a cultural shift of like pride in that, like, oh, everyone's, when the shift happened, like from Street Fighter 3 to 4 or whatever change, oh, you want everything to be nerfed and everything to be buffed. Yep. Back in my day, you had to figure it out and like work hard to, yeah, there were top tiers and they were broken, but we could beat them with low tiers because we were that much better. So I think a part of it is like culturally too. And it's like, where do you strike that balance? Like Melee hasn't been touched in how long? And they're still finding shit in their meta. Like, I think there's, if the game is made well, I think there are endless fucking possibilities to it. Like Third Strike, even though I don't want to say it's a solve game, but like the top tiers are the top tiers for fucking sure. And Melee, where the top tiers are the top tiers for fucking sure, but it's still an awesome game that was really well designed with a good engine and you can take it places. Like, I think that is the most important thing to me. Yeah. Not, and that's why I'm like with Street Fighter VI, I feel bad because they're getting flamed because they're not balance patching. Now, oh, nice. They're taking their time and not balance patching. Let's figure out the game. That's cool. 4 weeks later, what the fuck? Luke is so fucked up. What is going on with Ken? Like, this is JP, so broken. JP, I can't do anything. Like, it's so broken. It's like, dude, like Marcus said, I think the most important thing, you can't please everyone. And you, in what Gavin said, what I was saying, you need to have confidence in what you're doing. And again, that's so fucking hard. And there's a lot of pressure.
The balance is,
It's a lot. And I'm not trying to like undermine that because I really respect the people out there doing it. And I think overall, the culture is going in a positive direction. Very, very much so, especially with the latest batch of fighting games that have come out, with maybe the exception of Mortal Kombat doing whatever they're doing. But like Tekken, like they're all like truly, like, I have no idea. Like it hasn't been going well for Mortal Kombat. I don't know why. I don't live in that realm, so I can't really speak to that. But the general discourse I see about that game, not great in terms of the buff and the patches and everything that they're doing. But whatever, that's besides the point. Overall, trending in an upward way and doing well. And I think it's a cultural thing. We didn't have the ability to buff and patch before, add characters to a game later at a certain point. It was, you get the game, this is it, that's the end. And like, that was really cool. Like, there's something to be said about that. And I think that's where Soul and Charm and all that comes from. And a part of it is you grew up playing those games. You know, like as a kid, it was you experiencing a lot of things for the first time. Some kids feel that way about, I don't know, Overwatch or whatever. That was the first shooter they played online with their friends. So there is magic to that game, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, there's a lot of factors into it, man. It's a complex, like, beyond video game thing, like it's a human thing. It's like an experience thing that you had, right?
Yeah, for sure.
One thing, the last thing I want to say about this topic on my end is I think we've established that working, I feel like a lot of games now, they start with competitive and they work backwards, right? And they're like, okay, we got the competitive base, but then now let's try to add a casual mode or whatever. That's what we're seeing a lot nowadays. But I think what makes Smash so special is, like, and a lot of older games, they started on the opposite end because esports wasn't really a thing, right? So the two examples I'm going to bring in are like Smash and StarCraft. So StarCraft, just like more like most RTSs, it's just you build these units, these units get you resources, and then you get to build an army. And then there's all these little different missions that you can do that you need specific units for, right? But then in competitive, sometimes you didn't even use specific units because they just sucked or whatever, right? But it was cool building up your army and using all these different types of units to go through the campaign or just play with your friends and have fun or have like custom games and stuff like that. And then competitive started really taking off. And same thing with Smash. When you think about Smash, think about all the crazy complex things that are going on when you are hitting someone and when you are getting hit, right? Like SDI, DI, do you think these mechanics were made for competitive? Even though they seem like they were made for competitive, they weren't. The main reason why they were made, and this is just me, like, I think this is the case, I don't actually know, but I doubt that all these mechanics were made for competitive. It's more of just like when you play the game, all the scenarios are fresh and different, right? Like the example that has used of the Ferrari driving by at 140 miles per hour every single time, every time you get hit in Smash, there's so many different directions you can go because of DI and SDI, whether you're doing it on accident or if whether you're doing it not on accident, right? The amount of different things that can happen on a casual level is fucking insane. And that was the priority, but then it transfers to competitive. So it's like, oh, there's all, because of all these complex things that make the casual experience way different. Now it also just like, it almost feels like it fits right into competitive perfectly, right? It, which is so weird, but you know it's not their intention.
Take it 1,000 feet higher up, Charles. The RNG of this stage is fucking crazy. These items are crazy that are on. Like, this Pokeball, 100 things can pop out of it. Like, that was the fun of Smash. It was more like Mario Kart than it was a fighting game. It was like a Mario Kart fighting game, kind of. Seems to be one of their concepts, right? Like, sure, you could try to play it competitively, but in order to do that, you can't turn off, well, I guess you can turn off shit in Mario Kart, but it's like, who plays like that, right? But in Smash, that, again, that's like the cool thing about it is like, you can customize the way you play, which I, that is the most, one of the most brilliant things about Smash to me is that you can customize how you win and lose. How many other games can you fucking say that about? Like, there's not many. There's not many you could say that about. It is what it
is. Never play the same game of Smash twice, especially with like free for all and items and stuff like that. It's just, it will, every game will be different. And even in competitive, I won't say every single game's competitive. If someone's just way better than you and they do the same combo, like zero to death on you, like three or four times in a row, and you double jump in the same spot and they kill you, like then that game's the same time. But for the most part, you're not going to have the same interactions over.
Probably still isn't.
Right, it probably still isn't, right? Mm-hmm. Unless it's very specific cases where there's like a humongous skill gap or some shit like that. And I think that's what makes I always say this, the games that I really enjoy, they have insane replay value. And I think Smash is super, super high up there
that's in terms of replay value. That's what it is. The modern games, that's the perfect term. That's the perfect term. These games have artificial replay value.
Oh, like MMR climbing and stuff like that?
That is, it's all fake bullshit. It's not actually replay value. You fucking,
it was made in a lab.
You figured it out.
Charles always
I solved the code in Gavin's brain.
I finally have a new fucking buzz phrase.
Replay value?
Did you say it's streamline?
Replay value.
Bro did not grow up in the GameSpot era.
Artificial replay value. I got it. I can now hate and sound super smart.
That's what this episode was about.
I win.
We got there. I messaged. Yeah, we're going to page.
Potential pocket characters I'll be playing in Smash Ultimate before I start my Valorant career. See ya. Have a good one.